Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on? We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, the question of the day brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration. I got the sticky note, Mike.
Yeah, baby.
Now, the best thing about survival stories is that the person in question survived. However, the worst part of a survival story is the actual story that people can't believe that you survived. So we go to Australia's Snowy Mountains, which is both a description and a name, the Snowy Mountains. That's where a 23-year-old med student disappeared for almost 2 weeks. He was found 13 days later. Now, he survived on forage berries and two granola bars that he stole from a random mountain hut.
Oh, no.
Swear to God. Now, that's his story. All right, but he survived. Well, now we have an 8-year-old boy in Zimbabwe. Now, he got lost in the wilderness, but instead of 13 days, like his Australian counterpart, this kid, quote unquote, was only lost for 5 days, and he's from the area. Now, he too ate forage fruit, but the significant difference in their situation is that the little kid survived for 5 days, and the Matosudona Game Park, home to lions, herds of elephants, hippos, and other apex predators. In fact, when rescuers found him, he was sleeping on rocks, as they say, amidst roaring lions. Now, I personally have no interest in experiencing either scenario, but today is the day that we do our would you rather question. So I asked myself, would I rather be lost in the Snowy Mountains with no predators for 13 days, or would I rather only be lost for 5 days but surrounded by freaking lions? And to be honest with you, I still don't have an answer yet. Both of these stories suck, mainly because I had to eat fruit the whole time. That just doesn't work for me, you know. But today, that's just one of our many would you rather questions. So today is our random rather question.
Be part of the big show. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Wow. And it's all the way to go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,238. Happy New Year.
No kidding.
Jesus.
Stop. Still here. Oh, my God.
What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve, you bring us three stories each and every week. They all suck. It's up to us to determine out of the three which story sucks the least. How are we looking this week on Who Sucks Less?
You know, I considered throwing Ted in there with his human games, but instead we went with three other people. We got a Texas high school coach and football team that
all right.
There. We also have a guy posing as a fake job. Everything about this guy's fake. And then we have a dad that you'll be so glad is not your dad. It is amazing.
Okay.
Even though he's rich.
Yeah. Who Sucks Less is coming up. We do have a couple listeners out there, by the way, that found the Men's Room 20th anniversary lager from Black Raven Brewing. As it was announced on Monday, we have a brand new beer for the new year.
Yes, indeed.
And for the 20-year anniversary, it's going to be available for a limited time in locations. But we've got a brand new beer just to celebrate the fact that we've been on the air for 20 years. And no matter how long you've been listening to this program, just know that we appreciate it. If you happen to see it out, right now it is at QFC locations.
Yes.
And Fred Meyer locations.
Mm-hmm.
So they have it now. And then eventually we'll find out, I believe Draft, from what I understand, comes out on Friday.
Oh, very nice.
In various locations. So as we get the list, as we get more people who email, we will keep you updated, and hopefully you'll be able to enjoy a six-pack of the beer. It's a fantastic lager. And as always, it benefits our three local Fisher House places.
So. I may have shown up at home with two in my bag last night. Who knows?
That's why we don't have one to drink today, Teddy.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
We took them all home, so we don't have any
Them all, just the last two.
Yeah.
Exactly. 33%. And well, I drank two while we were here.
If you take the last two,
yeah,
that is taking them all.
Right.
That is fair.
You also put it that way. He has had two, so he drank four of the six.
Yeah, but it only took two home. That's the only part I'm saying.
Was that the six pack that was left in the fridge for me?
Was that for you?
One was for you, one was for me.
I got to get you one.
Like, I didn't, I don't think I got my six pack.
I didn't either. They're both gone.
Oh,
it was like
damn.
A sixer and a four pack. And then the next thing you know, like, someone already drank two of them.
Yeah, I drank two of those.
Thanks for nothing, you know?
Miles, you were on the text thread to get it. To get a sixer early on New Year's Eve.
That's correct. Ted and I got the sneak preview.
Oh, I gotta be honest with you, man. I was so messed up still from that flight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what nighttime was and what daytime was. So he's like, hey man, how was your New Year? And I'm like, I think I was asleep by 7.
Yep.
7:30, because it was, to me, I was just so upside down. Well, how was your New Year? I it was like an afternoon.
Right.
No idea what the hell happened there.
I will say, we didn't talk about this. That stuff with the needle, that looked awesome.
It did. Looked great.
See, I have no idea.
It looked great. I want to give a shout out to, like, King 5 did a great job. Mm-hmm. My man Terry Holman, like, it was awesome.
My daughter went, she said she had a blast.
It looked so cool on TV. Like, yeah. I'm old, so I left the bar at 11 and then went home and watched it on TV, but it was great.
Most shocking thing, I was like, how was all that crap down there, the traffic and everything? She's like, it was amazingly easy.
Really?
To get down there, find a place to park, and drive home.
Then maybe we should do fireworks more often in Seattle, that's the case.
That's shocking. Good times. All right, today is the day we do our random Would You Rather question. Basically what we do, you call the program 206-803-ROCK, and you will have a random choice to make at our discretion. Now, let's start with this one here in the room. Steve, you brought it up earlier. Would you rather be lost for 5 days in an African game park? Yes, we're back on that one. Or 13 days lost in the Australian outback and snowy mountain region.
Where is the
snowy mountain region?
I was talking to Steve about this earlier, Ted, because if you know anything about the Seven Summits, which is the tallest mountain.
I know there's seven of them.
Yeah, on each continent. So obviously here it's Denali in North America. It's in Asia. It's obviously Everest. It's Mount Blanc in Europe. It is Kilimanjaro. Because Everest is bigger. Kilimanjaro in Africa.
All right.
What continent am I missing? In Australia. There's one in Antarctica in the middle. And
is it a big, significant one? Or
it's probably 12,000, 13,000 feet.
That is significant.
Maybe 16,000 feet. And then there is the one in Australia, which if you do the Seven Summits, they always seemingly save Australia for last, because it literally is just a few-hour walk up a hill.
Like, if you have a pole vault, you can clear at the top.
You don't need to have special gear. You literally put on tennis shoes with shorts on and a t-shirt.
That's my kind of mountain.
And you get to Australia's highest peak. So I don't know where this area is, but someone was lost there for 13 days.
Oh, dude, well, that's easy. It's in southern New South Wales.
Okay.
Oh, right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, you know, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So what are you taking? Are you taking 13 days? And it's still Australia. No matter what, are you taking 13 days in the Australian outback and 5 days in an African game park?
I'm already dressed.
Let's say you're to dressed this, to, right. Either
that
way.
I'm taking the snowy mountain at range.
Really?
Yes.
Man, I think I got to lean Africa. And not because I won't be terrified listening to lions and knowing elephants are walking by hip. Like, all of the predators are there. But my mindset is just this. Like, I feel like after 7 days, I personally have given up hope and I'm going to lose my mind. Right? After a week, I'm like, there's no chance I'm getting rescued wherever I'm at. I'm going to die out here, and you're going to have all those thoughts. But I feel like up until the 7 day period, I'm keeping my S together. So even though I'm terrified and I do not want to be eaten by lions, trampled by elephants, or snapped in half by a hippopotamus, or gored by a rhinoceros, or ripped apart by baboons and everything else that's out there, I'm still holding out hope. So I just feel like mentally.
So you're taking 5 days in Africa.
I'm taking the 5 days. The worst part of both of these to me is that they're both just eating fruit.
Okay, I'm a 10. I'm taking the 13 days lost in the Australian outback.
Is this based on your recent escapade in Africa?
Correct.
I'm basing mine off skin tone. I'm going to spend 5 days. I mean, I would be blistered with sunburn.
Well, don't think for 1 minute that snow is not some of the worst places that you can get a sunburn.
But I think this guy.
Right, but I'm wearing a jacket.
Right. Okay.
Like, I've already dressed for the weather. I don't know. Like, that just sounds miserable to be left. And snakes, frankly.
Right. Okay.
Right. Well, but Miles, the thing is, you have seen the pictures that you had from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't asked you, is this telephoto or is that line as close as it looks? And you said, dude, it's as close as it looks. Like, you pull out your phone,
right.
It's just laying there. So you've experienced that, and you're still, and you survived. Mm-hmm. You are
Correct.
Not dead.
Correct.
Which surprises us all. I lost $5 on this. But that said, You're still taking 13 days in Australia.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because if it's in the snowy mountains, one of the things about Africa and Australia is where it's very warm, there are a lot of reptiles. And we know for a fact that the reptiles in Australia, whether it's the size of the spiders or the millipedes or the centipedes or the crocodiles or anything that they're warm weather, right?
Yeah.
Those are not going to be a part of the situation.
Sure.
So the snakes, they're not going to be living in the snowy mountains. So you basically, you take the reptiles out of the equation, you take all the weird insects out of the equation, now you're just fighting the elements.
Okay.
And whatever those are. Now, in Africa, if you saw the size of just the centipedes, the millipedes, when it rained, they come out of the ground.
Did you actually see these things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some are a foot. Some are a foot and a half long.
Right.
These can also get into your room. But here is the inherent problem. If you can just keep yourself warm and find shelter in Australia. Now, you could feasibly go to sleep.
Sure.
And get some rest and wake up and hopefully have enough energy to get your bearings together, start hiking, try to figure out where you are, try to get yourself someplace that maybe could help you find freedom, right? In Africa, the way this stuff works is the first safari that we were on, we left at 5:15 in the morning. We got up at 4:45.
All right.
You have a cup of coffee, you try to crap as fast as you can, and then you're off and out.
What time does the sun start coming up?
Sun's already up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, talking about African summer, it's right there.
Yeah, how was the coffee?
Coffee was fantastic.
Does it run right through you?
Absolutely. Right. No, it was really good. I mean, typically when you go to a different, if you've been to Mexico, great coffee. Jamaica, great
strong,
coffee.
Strong, but yeah.
Costa Rica, great coffee. All these places that produce coffee beans, Africa does too.
I've been to Miami, so I've had Cuban coffee.
So they have a lot of Kenyan coffee beans. And,
all right.
You know, so the coffee was pretty good. But the reason that you go so early is because all of these animals hunt nocturnally.
Yeah.
They are up all night. And they
and sleep all day.
And they're picking off whatever they can. Baby impalas, cuda, you know, you name it. Wildebeests, whatever's the one that's trailing behind, that's the one the lions eat. So when you wake up and you go on that first one, typically you're looking for the carnage, which is either the lions are still going after it, the hyenas wait and waiting. Because they are the bone cleaners. You know the persons you don't go get wings with, and you're looking over at their bucket of wings, and you go, gotta know how to eat wings, man. There's tons of meat on there. That guy, it's kind of what the lions do.
Right.
And they leave the rest for the hyenas.
Sure.
So the hyenas make that skeleton look like an actual skeleton. I mean, there's nothing, no gristle. There's nothing left.
Do you
that.
Eat the tendon on the drummy?
I don't.
All right.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
I have a buddy, we all know, Marshawn. I mean, he just cleans a wing. Like
I've seen that man eat a wing.
He's a hyena.
I'm pretty good at it, but I'm going to start calling him the hyena.
He is a hyena. I've seen him eat chicken wings. It's like, bro, have you been fasting for a month? I mean, did you just get out of prison?
Yeah. So the reason that you can,
makes you feel like
the
less
reason
of a
that
man.
You can get so close to these too. Animals is because they have been hunting all night. They have now been fed, and they're taking their nap because they are worn out from an entire night of hunting and eating.
Sure.
So that's why they're so docile in the morning. However, if you are out there and you need to go to sleep, this is when you are the hunted. And you would never get any rest because the entire time you would just be thinking to yourself, what has eyes on me? What is going to attack me? And because that's when the attack happens. So if you're asleep, that's when they grab you by the head and drag you off, right? So I would rather be able to get just a decent night's sleep with a little hypothermia in Australia.
I'll take
losing some toes, maybe a finger or two.
I'd rather die of hypothermia than die all sun blistered up getting bit by a snake.
Right. Yep.
Well, it's absolutely all dusty.
Not
and
only that. Not only that. But when you do fall asleep, keep in mind in Africa, it gets extremely cold. And whether you are in a tent or not, the bugs and the spiders and the snakes tend to migrate where you're sleeping because, A,
you're warm.
You're warm. You've got body heat. The wind can't get in if it's blowing. So it's the warmest location. So that's why when you pull back your sheets, when you need to look in your bed, you definitely need to pick up the toilet lid. All the things that you do at home. You pull back the shower curtain. It's almost like you're Africa 10.
I'm preparing.
Yeah. And you're already ready for
Africa 10.
You already have all the mannerisms that are required to be able to spend the night comfortably because you have to check these things.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying, man, for me, it's the duration. Right? Mm-hmm. And you're right. I would be absolutely terrified. I would probably have nightmares for the rest of my life. But it's 5 days. I mean, seriously, that's it. Like, and I really hate cold weather. So I understand everything you're saying about the predators. But one, I detest cold weather. I hate cold weather. So 13 days in cold weather is already a nightmare. And yes, knowing that lions are hunting me, a nightmare, but it's 5 days.
We also didn't tell you that the kid in Africa was 8 years old. And he survived 5 days in what they call a perilous African game park. I'm not sure the difference.
What game park in Africa is not perilous?
This is out of Zimbabwe. And when I was in Zimbabwe, keep in mind, that was the home of saltwater crocodiles. Or, I'm sorry, freshwater crocodiles, but African crocodiles. All right? And they're sizable. I mean, there are areas in the river where you can swim. There are areas where you need to get out.
Did you swim?
I did not swim, but I talked to a guy who did some whitewater rafting who basically told me, look, man, you know, you could go to a certain point, and they said, you want to take a dip in the water, but they're like, get out now. But the hippos come into the water. In Zimbabwe, it's got a few different species, but still all the lions, everything else. So,
sure.
But it does have the hippos. Along with the rhinos and along with the crocodiles.
Do crocodiles and hippos fight?
I didn't see that.
Okay. I'm just curious.
That'd be awesome.
But either way, basically the child wandered away from his home. He was sleeping on a rocky perch amid roaring lions and elephants. When they found him, he survived on eating wild fruits. Now, in Australia, the guy was 23 years old. He stopped to take photos while exploring on Boxing Day, and then he could not meet up with his companions. He got lost. That began his 13-day search for anybody or anything, you know, just to be able to get himself out of here. He consumed only foraged berries and 2 granola bars over 13 days.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah.
No.
You think you want to cut weight for the new year?
There you go.
You know what I mean? That guy.
This New Year's resolution. I'm going to eat more.
Okay, the random rather question is coming up. 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
It's random would you rather question. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Amy. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola. Amy, welcome to the program. Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Okay, Amy, this is a twist.
You guys.
Yeah. Well, this is a twisted one. Hopefully you'll be able to figure it out, okay? Would you rather cook the family pet and serve it to an unsuspecting guest or eat the pet yourself?
Ooh.
I'll cook it and serve it to someone else.
I'm right there with you. Do you have a pet?
I do. I have a cat. She lives with my son, though, over on the other side of the mountains.
You can still cook her.
Also, he took the cat with him.
Yes.
Now, does that mean, did they have a closer relationship, or he just wanted the cat?
Oh, no. I had her over here with where I live on this side of the mountains so that she would be able to go outside and play. But after a few years, he wanted her back, so he came over and got her and took her back home.
Okay.
So, I've never heard that before.
Cat burglary.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least you had an outdoor cat. The woman that owns the house next to me does not live there. She inherited it from her mother for about the last 6 to 8 weeks. It's been an Airbnb for a local family, but that local family's home flooded before the holidays. So, they've been staying there, right? No problem. They're cool. They got 2 little kids. They're just like 2 little kids. To their credit, they were very festive at Christmas. They had an inflatable minion, an inflatable Grinch, an inflatable something else that I can't remember, reindeer, and then they had one of those real creepy kind of religious-looking Santas standing in the doorway, which, by the way, scared the living bejesus out of me the first time I saw it. I thought it was a dude standing there.
Anyway, oh, he's got, like, the taller hat and everything?
Yeah, and he looks real serious. You know, there's, like, Jolly Santa. Ho, ho, ho. This is not him. This is, like, no, seriously, I've been watching y'all.
There is a naughty list.
Right. And I'm here to bring the naughty stuff. Anyway, they have an outdoor cat, which I did not realize. The problem with the outdoor cat is the cat's very friendly. But it likes to hover around my home, which drives my dog absolutely bat-ass crazy, man. So I'm starting to hate this cat, not for anything it's done. It likes to hang out under the portico where I smoke out front, right?
All right.
But my dog knows it's there, so now my dog is pressed up against the window, and it's just 20 minutes straight of barking. But as cats do, the cat's just looking at the window at the dog like, you can't get out here, not going to do anything. So the other day, I had to chase it out of the portico, no problem. Then my dog stops barking. About 30 seconds later, my dog freaks out again, now runs to the back window. The cat has simply walked around the house and is now sitting outside of the window, outside of the home office. Same thing, just staring at the dog. And my dog is losing her ass. Keep in mind, my dog's already crazy. But when she sees the cat, it's like, I know you're crazy, but now you can't find your meds, kind of crazy. So the dog's losing her ass, which makes me lose my ass. So finally, I went outside and had to throw a rock at the cat just to make it run away. And then my dog instantly
hit it right between the eyes.
Mm. There's no chance I was going to hit it. But still, man. And then the cat got on top of our, the pergola, right on the side yard.
Yeah.
It's just sitting up there. So now my dog's in my bedroom, standing in my bed, looking out that window, just barking at it. So my thing is, I don't have a problem with the cat. I got a problem that my dog has a problem with the cat. And there's nothing you can do to shut my damn dog up. All of that said, if I had to cook one of my pets, it's going to be the dog before the cat. I'm cooking up Molly before I cook up Rainbow.
So, Miles, and the question, the other part of it was, if I have to eat my family pet.
Or you serve it to someone else, and they don't know what it is.
But somebody else is going to prepare my family pet.
No,
you're cooking it either way.
But would you rather eat it, or would you rather serve it to someone who does not know what the meat is?
I'm serving it to someone.
I guess in that case, I'd serve it. But if somebody else is going to make it for me, depending on who's making it, I would eat my own dog.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So as long as someone else prepares your pet, eat your pet knowing that it's your... Who do you have in mind?
My buddy Sal. Barbecue's awesome. Like, if Sal was like, hey, man,
I'm going to smoke your dog.
I'm going to slow smoke your dog. I'd be like, it's all right, man. I'm like, oh, man.
Slow smoke Tigger.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Yes. He's a Scottish Terrier, so he didn't have a ton of meat on him.
Okay.
Right.
But I'm telling you, Sal could smoke anything.
Even your dog.
My dog.
Okay. Random, would you rather question 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Wes, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. All right. You got to put yourself in these shoes. You are a cop. Would you rather pull over a stripper or pull over a Hooters girl? Would you rather pull over a stripper or pull over a Hooters girl?
All right, I'm going Hooters girl.
Hooters girl. Okay, why a Hooters girl?
I just feel like they're going to be a lot nicer, and I feel like the stripper might be on some substance and be a little aggressive, and I get, scratched up.
Okay.
Or bit.
All right. That is not that's not a bad way of looking at it, I think that if I'm a cop, okay, first of all, I'm a corrupt cop. There's no doubt about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just be honest with the situation. Not corrupt to the point of doing terrible things, but I'm going to take advantage of the situation. So, I might just say
you'd be the undercover cop who gets lost.
Probably.
But I could never do undercover, but I'm with Miles. Like, look, I'm not setting out to do anything corrupt, but I pull you over, you got a kilo of coke, and it's like, look, man, you can go to jail for like 12 years, or I'm going to take this off you, and this never happened.
Correct.
That's my kind of thing.
Has Montgomery checked in? Not in a year and a half.
Now, I know you might think I'm crazy, all right?
No.
But you could say, hey, all right, look, I will give you a ride home. We will park this vehicle. You can come and get it tomorrow, whatever the deal is, or call a friend now and get the car out of here. And I want a lap dance, right? Or.
That's all you're asking for?
When do you work next time at Hooters? Because I'm coming in. And I'm eating dinner.
Want some wings.
And the whole damn thing is on the house. And you are not getting a DUI. I'm taking your ass home if I ever see you driving drunk again.
One dinner?
I'm throwing your ass to jail.
I'm with Ted on that. Like,
Jesus, man, you're not even good at being a bad cop.
Whatever I'm negotiating, if I get Hooters wings, this is the direction I'm going.
But if it's one DUI, right? It's a Hooters girl. You can bust her on DUI. Or you can take her home. How many free meals within reason do you want at Hooters?
I think I just keep going in until the situation comes to an end. I'm not going to put a number on it. I'm just going to go, look, if you work on Wednesday nights, just expect to see me there for dinner.
All right.
And then you're going to take care of it for a while. But you're not going to get a DUI. I'm going to safely get you home, and we're going to figure out a way to get your car back home. Even if we have to tow it there. Whatever we have to do.
That's not a bad thing. I think I take the stripper, and not because I want to go in your club and I want a free lap dance, but, and this is just my guess, I am confident that if I search the stripper's car, she's going to have some stuff that I want, right? And I feel like then you do the trade. Like, hey, this is what I found in your glove compartment. This is what I found at the bottom of your purse, okay? I like what you like. So because I know what you like. So here's the deal. I get to keep all this. And I'll let, again, I'll give you a ride home. Make sure you get home safely. All that kind of stuff. We'll get your car towed. But I don't necessarily want a free meal. I don't want a lap dance. I want your drugs. I mean, okay. That's all a longer chart.
Ted, where are you going? Drugs. Hooters or stripper?
Well, after that video I saw today, I'm going Hooters.
Hooters. Okay. Hooters girl. Reason we asked you a copy pull over a stripper or a Hooters girl, we'll start with a story out of Ohio. Body camera footage captures the moment an Ohio stripper calls a police officer handsome and tells him to tase her because she likes it kinky. After admitting she downed 6 shots of Patron during a hit-and-run arrest.
Okay.
Grace Spoonamore, not making that up, Spoonamore, was behind the wheel of a Buick Enclave when she allegedly struck a Chevrolet Cruze at an intersection in Ohio and then took off. An officer witnessed the accident, according to the incident report obtained by Fox News. Now, the officer, Dominic DeMetal, pulled her over near a car dealership and noted that she had bloodshot, watery eyes, reeked of alcohol. After DeMetal handcuffs her, he asked if she has anything in her pockets. She says, I don't know. You want to check me?
Yep.
While Spoonamore, wearing a midriff bearing top and jeans, waits in the back of the police cruiser, she then playfully dangles her leg outside of the car. DeMetal orders her to put her leg back in. Listen, handsome man, she says. You feel some type of way because my leg ain't in the car? Spoonamore initially denied drinking, then later admitted to the footage to the second officer excuse me, that she had 3 double Patrons with a lime. Then told the officers she was a stripper who works at Hustler, which is outside of downtown Cleveland, about 25 miles from where she was pulled over. The officer repeatedly tries to get the current address of the Ohio native. She refuses. At one point, she allegedly sprayed him with saliva. Mm. That was not captured on the footage.
Does that mean spit on him?
Yes.
Who says, I was sprayed with saliva? They spit on you, dummy.
Fox News. The moments of follow-on video show her violently kicking the plexiglass divider and the cruiser side windows. Now, on the way to the police station, Spoonamore then urinated in the back of the cruiser.
Mm.
You wouldn't let me go. I couldn't hold it, she says, giggling, as she steps out of the car with her jeans soaking wet. And while entering the station, she peed the entire way in while walking and standing.
Classy.
Now, once inside, the officer orders Spoonamore to stand inside a blue box on the floor to have her mugshot taken.
All right.
While he looks for a female officer to do a cavity search type thing.
A wet cavity search.
And she says, can I take it off? And he says, what? And she says, all my clothes. And he says, no, just leave it on. Just stop. And then she marches toward the officer, her wrist still behind her back in cuffs, and asked, do you want to tase me? No, he answers. Do it. I like it. I like it kinky, she says. He orders her again to stay in a blue box. She was arrested on charges of operating a vehicle under the influence, speeding, obstruction of official justice, assaulting a police officer by spitting on him, blah, 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 blah.
Spraying saliva. Just quick note. First of all, someone here says, Thrill, you can't just search someone's car during a random traffic stop. I know this, but as I pointed out, I am a corrupt cop. I'm stealing their drugs,
Is drunk, and you're letting them off one way or the other.
Yeah, so. I'm already corrupt. I'm searching your car without the warrant. You're absolutely correct, but I'm here to steal the drugs. And as far as someone saying, do you want to tase me, Mike, you know my rule. If you're going to pee yourself or get naked, you're getting tased. Yeah. You don't even have to ask me, do you want to tase me? Your ass is getting... Don't make things weird, right? Just be bad. Don't, like, if you're going to rob a bank, rob a bank. You rob a bank naked, I'm tasing your ass.
Now we move on to the story down in Sarasota, Florida. They say, have you ever seen a video of a Hooters waitress trying to flirt her way out of a DUI? You have now. Her name is Sophia Ross, and she is 22 years old. This happened back in mid-November, but I guess the footage is just coming out now, and people are picking it up, and it's all over social media. She, on the other hand, kept calling the cop daddy. Said she wanted to make out. Then told him,
don't call me daddy then.
Being such a nerd about it. She also pulled her sweater up at one point to show off the Hooters shirt that she had on. He pulled over at around 2 a.m. She did not get breathalyzed until 3:12. Even then, she was 4 times over the legal limit.
Wow.
0.33.
That is going for it.
Unfortunately for her, the flirting didn't work. She got her pretrial hearing tomorrow, apparently. But yeah, there is a 34-minute video.
It's 34 minutes long.
Oh, for being arrested.
It's a long one.
With all I've seen the edited down version.
So long. Like, why does this take so long for her just to be placed under
arrest? What I think it is I think the officer's kind of enjoying the attention.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, it also, he's just trying to tell her, but she won't follow directions.
I'm not shocked by that process.
That process takes a minute, right? Like, I remember once in an apartment watching somebody go through all the tests and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a quick thing.
All right. I didn't realize it took that long. I'm sure that one took a little longer, but I mean, in general.
Well, and I watched the video. I mean, she just, every time he tells her something, she's like, oh, daddy, like, I want this, I want that. And he's like,
First she calls him babe, and then, she, you know, says, you know, because he can't force her to do the field sobriety test, you know, would you do it for me? She says, I would do anything for you, daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's also,
you know, as a father, daddy is not sexy.
No. I know.
No, actually, look, it's not sexy.
I was probably fine with that before I had kids, but like now, like, please, don't, unless you want my erection to go away. Am I visibly showing you an erection? You want it to disappear? Call me daddy. It will disappear.
Right.
I promise you. Mm-hmm.
I'll say this for the most part.
Ted's like,
I don't know, I've had somebody say it during coitus.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, you could call me a lot of things during coitus. I'll be like,
oh, all right. Inbound. Can I drop the inbound?
Yeah. Yeah, in that moment, whatever,
man. Hey, look, man, why not?
My goal, yeah.
It's my opportunity. That's the one pass I get.
There's your pass.
Always wanted to do this.
Not during foreplay.
Okay.
It's got to be sex. You know what I mean?
Or I'll put a song on that's got a lot of that language in it and sing it out loud, something like that.
Do what you
got
to do.
But either way.
I think that's worse.
What?
Singing the song?
Yeah.
Singing wild sex? Do you think you could sing while having sex? We put on your favorite song, you're going to have sex, but the stipulation is, all right, so whatever your hall pass is, that celebrity you find super attractive, you no chance with, she says, look, I'm going to have sex with you, right? We do the foreplay, the whole thing. We're going to get you ready, but at the moment we start this, you got to sing your favorite song.
You don't think your dad's never sang Sweet Carolyn to your mom?
No. Yeah, I really don't.
Sweet Carolyn.
Bop, bop, bop.
So good.
So good.
Yeah.
That's my mom's part.
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on, honey, it's your part.
It's a duet.
Well, the difference is, look, we have been to hustler clubs before.
Yeah.
So for the most part, the talent in there is much better than your run-of-the-mill, one-location strip club. I realize some are better than others, but Hustler's got the consistency of being...
Well, yeah, I mean, they got a name to live up to.
Exactly. So it's not that the woman is not attractive. It's just a different type of attractive.
Than the Hooters girl?
The Hooters girl is more of the girl next door cheerleader.
Where did you live that's a girl next door? Did the people have to get
No,
her?
No, no, she's
it's
just
the
got,
girl next
she's
door.
Got more of an innocent beauty.
I understand what you're saying.
Also, I'm a stripper beauty.
Right. Also, strippers have the help of, like, the lights.
Sure.
The giant heels of this and that.
The boobs.
That Hooters girl's in shorts, tight t-shirt and mm-hmm. Tennis.
Oh, yeah, she's in uniform.
Right.
Yeah, Miles, we just say it. We just found the Hooters girl more attractive.
Yeah.
That's bottom line.
I know.
It throws right. Yeah. She never lives next door to me. I assume that's what most of Florida looks like.
Yeah. I know a woman who used to do that for a living for probably 15 years.
Well, Hooters or strip?
Strip.
Okay.
So asking her about some of the taboos of the stripping industry. And just things that you would never think of, all right?
All right.
So as far as what you wear and how you present yourself, okay? So there's certain things, and everybody's going to work that pole when they get out there. Everybody's got a pole routine. But, you know, everyone's also has a first night. So, you know, and a lot of people come and go, and a lot of people, you know, they practice at home or whatever, but now they actually got the job, and they're going to go and do it. So within that time frame, you have a lot of the newbies that come in and do everything else. One of the big no-nos is baby oil because of what it does to the pole.
Well, sure.
Now, this person that I'm talking to basically said that she came on after a newbie who used baby oil, all right? Now, as soon as she started to grab that pole and spin around, she, bam, right on the ground and cracked her tailbone.
Oh.
Boom.
Ooh.
Performance over immediately because she was in a high spin.
Yeah.
Then got to the place
where
the baby
oil
was and just boom. Show over.
Well, doesn't the pole itself spin?
Yes.
So it's like you don't need baby oil.
Really? It actually spins on its own?
I'm almost positive the pole.
I feel like there are at least some that do.
It makes
that
sense.
Could be
it would
wrong.
Make the whole thing easier.
Not,
you know,
not the
sure.
ones that were in the party van that we've been in before.
Oh, no, not those.
Well, those are, that's just a stripper pole.
Yeah, it's a solid pole. Yeah, but I learned all kinds of stuff about that. Like no baby oil, no talc.
No talc?
No.
Really?
Same thing.
Oh, really?
Degrees in the poll.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. More of the random would you rather question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.